good morning. We do have a number that are visiting with us. We are very thankful that you are here. I ask you to open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, is where we're going to begin in just a minute. Proverbs, the 12th chapter, in just a second. This morning, I do want to talk about the tongue, our words. We've been talking about being worthy of our calling, and one of the things that comes with that is the things that we do say. We sang songs, and I appreciate Ben leading the songs, that really talk about us building one another up, being like our Father, doing the things that we need to do to make sure that angry words are not said flippantly. If you gave me a hammer, I could destroy anything that you'd want me to. I could destroy things you don't want me to. If you give me a hammer and you want me to build something, you're looking at the wrong person. Some of us are really good at building. Some of us are extremely good at destroying. And the difficulty sometimes is that's true whether we're talking about physical things of building up or sometimes when it comes to our words. The things that we say. Some of us have been given a skill, blessed, I don't know if it's the right word, to be able to say things quickly back that just gives you a little stab. I'm really good at that. And that's not a good thing. Duct tape is one of those things that's an amazing invention. But if you took all the duct tape in the world and put it on those of us that need duct tape on our mouths, there's not enough duct tape. So we got to figure something else out. How do we think before we say something? Isn't that amazing? First time you've heard this, I'm sure. Think before you speak. My parents say that. No, they still say it. They say it all the time. Think before you speak. The Bible says that. Think before you speak. And those that are children of God, we need to learn how to think before we speak because the words that we say matter. They matter. They do hurt. The picture up here that you may or may not be able to see very well is of a boy with these words that are around his neck that were being said to him. At least the illustration has. Words that a parent, perhaps, would say to him. And you say just because you're angry at the moment. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs 18, chapter verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The things that you say can bring life, and they certainly can bring death. The things that we say matter. The old phrase of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is absolutely 100% false. It's wrong. I can be bruised or break things physically, but there are things that have been said to people that have had decades of trouble trying to get over. We've got to understand the power of words. When we talk about our God and we talk about what he tells us to do as his people, this is paramount. Before I get over to chapter 12, over in chapter 15 and verse 28 of Proverbs, I want you to notice what the scriptures say. So this isn't a new thought. It says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Think before you speak. Taking the time to make sure what I'm about to say is appropriate for the situation. Taking the time to make sure what I'm going to say is going to help the situation. Not make me feel better, per se, which is a lot of times why we say what we say. But rather, taking the opportunity to think before we speak. To think before we send a text. To think before we do anything. God has given us that opportunity. But over in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, in verse 18, the proverb writer says this, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. What I love about so many of these different scriptures is you get a choice to make of which one you are. Which one describes us? Are we the ones that speak rashly, like a thrusting of a sword? Or do we bring healing with the things that we say? You look over in chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but the harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge pleasant, but the mouth of a fool sprouts or spouts foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are on every place, watching the evil and the good. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Time and time again, the difference between the upright and those that are not. Just in the way that we speak. Just in the things that we say to one another. A gentle answer turns away wrath. If God's people would take these words to heart, you talk about shining bright in a dark world, surrounded by people that do nothing but put other people down. I've talked about this before. There's a reason why companies that make makeup come out with a new thing all the time to make you look prettier. And the reason is, you buy it. You buy it. You're never good enough. You need this product. You had that product? That's outdated. You need another product. And what do? That's right. We buy it. We're surrounded, we're bombarded with things in the world that are pushing us down, telling us we're not good enough. And we have a God that says, you are my child. I sent my son to die for you, as Scott talked about at the table. And we allow other things to define ourselves rather than being the people that we have been called to be, both in action and in word. We are to be peculiar people, even in the way that we speak. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 24, he says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. The worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless person digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that you find in the book of Proverbs is these different levels of people. There's the naive, there's some scoffers, and then there's fools. The danger sometimes of us looking at these passages is realizing that when it talks about an evil or a fool, that's us. We can look at it so often as though I am righteous. He's not talking about me. He's talking about the others. We need to make sure that that's true. Because there's so often, when you read these passages, that I am the one whose words are like a scorching fire. I am the one who says things that they should not say at certain times to certain people. I have to be willing to look at myself, for you to look at yourself, to make sure that it's not the evil person here that is describing me. And then if it is, that I am willing to change. That I am willing to be, as verse 24 says, the one who gives pleasant words like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Can you imagine if we all could be described like that? In chapter 21, and these are just some of them. I'm not even going to get into the verses that talk about living on a rooftop is better than in a house with a contentious woman. That's my favorite proverb, but it has nothing to do with this sermon. But Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Oh, that's when you say amen. Can you imagine that verse? If we all live this, one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. How many times have you had words coming out of your mouth that you want nothing but to pull back into your mouth as they are coming out? How many times have you said something knowing full well that the next phrase you're going to have to say is, I'm sorry? There are things that we say without thinking about what we're going to say that does nothing but brings us trouble, as it talks about in this verse. Based off of what we say, we have a choice in certain situations to make it worse or to make it better. To continue the situation or to bless. All those different things that we have the opportunity to do, that sometimes as we're sitting here talking about it, we could do as we're talking about it or thinking about, this is what I want to do, but when we're in those situations, taking that second to think is the problem. It is for me. That's the problem. And I can go to James, the 3rd chapter. We all know that this passage is talking about our tongue, how we speak to one another, the things that we do, And yet it's almost still a surprise that so many people struggle with it. And that we don't take the opportunity, or enough of the opportunity, to work on it. We're told that this thing in our mouths has the power to direct. You think about what it talks about here, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Do not become teachers in large numbers, my brothers, since you know that we who are teachers will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Look at the ships too. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." And I think we all can see the last part here in our country. We understand how a small flame can start a huge, huge fire. We see that. We understand that. You talk about a boat or a horse, whatever it is. We understand that there's these small pieces that can direct the whole thing. What's the same as your tongue? Our tongue, as it talks about in verse 5, is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. We say things that there's no reason to say. There are things that we tell other people that there's no reason to tell them. Called gossip. There are times when you're in a situation and you want to get back at somebody. So you say something as though that makes it any better. It can direct, but it can also destroy. I went ahead and read the end of chapter or verse 5 when you're talking about the forest setting ablaze. In verse 6, though, he says, "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our body parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of bird, of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." With it, well, I'll stop there. Start in verse 8. When you think about it from our perspective, the danger is thinking that we have it. We've made it. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say anymore because I've tamed it. This is something that is constantly on a child of God's mind. The things that we are going to say. The Apostle Paul tells us that we need to take every thought captive. We also need to take every word captive that we say. The proverb writer will talk about those that will do something to their neighbor and get caught and say, "Oh, I was just joking." We do that too, don't we? "Oh, that was just a joke. I was just kidding." The difficulty is, you may say it as a joke. That doesn't mean it's going to be received as one. You may say something just to try to be funny, or I may say something just to try to be funny. That doesn't mean it's going to be received as such. And I assure you, if you're writing something down, it's not going to be received as such. We've got to understand how we say things, how we word things, absolutely matters. He'll go on here in this chapter, and he'll talk about this piece that is so important for us. So we just sang these amazing songs, praising our God, talking of how we're supposed to be. In verse 9, he says, With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. We all sang praises to the Almighty God, and with this same mouth, we will curse other people. With this same mouth, we will say things that we should never say. That steps on my toes. I'm sure it steps on yours. We all just praised him. We all praise him. And with the same tongue, curse his people that are made in his likeness. And then the great questions. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a person who's truly righteous also be one that is sending out curses? Also be one that is saying things that they should not be saying? Do the words that you say build or do they destroy? Over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul says it this way, and he talks about this a little later on as well, but I'm just going to read these. He says, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but if there is any word, good word of edification according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." This is what we just sang about. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of this. And that's what we're called to be. Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Only those that are good for edification. We're striving to be like Jesus Christ. That means the things that we say, the things that we do, are so important. The way that we talk to our children, parents, I cannot tell you how important they are. Those words that you say. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. There's an importance of teaching our children what it means to apologize. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But it does mean that you're going to give it your best effort to try to do all you can to encourage, to build up those children that you are good stewards of, that are children of the Almighty God. When you talk to people about God's word, I always use this illustration because I think this is the problem when it comes to evangelism. You prepare yourself, there's a skit that's out, that you prepare yourself that you're going to go and you want to go evangelize with somebody, you want to talk to them about God's word. And so you write down the verses that you want to say to them, and you go up and you punch them right in the mouth and you throw the verses at them and you say, "Jesus loves you." Evangelism. That's what we do. Check. Got that taken care of. It is amazing how often people think that they're doing something in the name of God that are absolutely doing the opposite. Including things that we say and how we say them. Doesn't mean you tolerate evil. Don't pendulum swing on me. It does mean how we talk to one another, how we introduce people to Jesus Christ matters. The things that we say matter. Because I'm going to tell you, he does love you. And the only way people are ever going to leave the relationship with sin that they are in is because of that. That's why. If they're not going to have a relationship with God or don't understand this relationship with God, why would they ever stop sinning? Why would you ever stop? Because you pointed out something that they were doing that's wrong? They need to know who Jesus is. They need to understand the love that our Father had for us, to send his Son to die for us. They need to understand our Savior's willingness to go through that. They need to understand that they cannot grieve the Holy Spirit, as we just read. We need to understand it, though. That the things that we say absolutely will grieve the Holy Spirit. As he says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter and verse 30. Following, do not let any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Do not get caught up in bitterness. Do not get caught up in anger. Do not get caught up in wrath. Remove them from yourselves. Jesus loves you. And what he wants us to do is to build one another up. To make sure everyone has the opportunity to meet Jesus. They're going to make their choice of whether or not they're going to have a relationship with him. And we all have the opportunity now to get our lives right with him. Jesus tells us, and we know that he loves us based on his actions, based on his words. And as we've been talking about in class, we talk about it now. You can say it all day long that you love Jesus. That doesn't mean anything. It's a good thing to say. But our actions show that. Our actions will show whether or not we love him. And our basis of how we treat other people and whether or not we follow his commands. We've got to understand what it truly means to walk as a child of the living God. We all have that opportunity now to make sure that we are living for him, that we understand the beautiful blessing that it is to be a child of God, but it comes with responsibility. You are to shine bright. You are to let other people see him. Jesus Christ is what's going to change this world. Nothing else. No one else. Solely Jesus. And people are only going to have the opportunity if we, as God's people, act like God's people in our actions and in our words. If you're not a child of the living God, I can't even tell you what you are missing. The blessings that you have here, the confidence that you can have of being his child, that he's going to be with you here, and you're going to be with him for eternity. We all have that opportunity now. If you have questions, ask. Ask them. I would love to tell you about my Savior. If there's anything that we can do, I ask you, do not leave. Let us know how we can help you. If that's right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.